Okay. Well, how many of you are here this morning who've not heard Rich speak before? You haven't been here when he's spoken. Anybody? A few people? Okay. A couple people? All right. Yeah. Well, for your benefit, our brother Rich, he's family. We feel that way. And he's been coming for a while. He's part of the ministry with Georgie and Banoff, Global Celebration. He actually was a pastor in Maine for many, many, many years and lived there, loves the outdoors, loves the woods and all the trappings of Maine. In fact, the offering basket back there, Richard, it's got little lighthouses on it. Remind me of Maine, the Maine lighthouses, you know? Yeah, so he, what's that, Bob?
Lobster,
yeah, Maine lobster, yeah. I'll divert for a minute here, okay? When I was a pilot in Jacksonville, I had to do what they call a check flight. So we flew to Maine for my check flight and picked up a case of lobsters and came back to Jacksonville, Florida with them. So that's where your tax dollars went. So that was a lot of fun. that was a long time ago. Long time ago. But Rich left the church there to join Georgian with his ministry. He's the pastor of their school of supernatural ministry, and he and his wife Linda live in Harrisburg, where our dear sister Susie is the chief intercessor, and Mike cares of all the books and everything else. They're both working there full time. It's a pretty full-time job. and it's kind of cool that Rich is with us this morning. Of course, as I mentioned before, he and I agreed that if the weather prevented him from coming, we had a date in May. It almost prevented it. You know, we were right on the edge, yeah. But at the end of the month, we have George and Banoff here, the last Sunday, all right, on March 31st. So we got kind of bookends going on here this month. So let's welcome our brother Rich, all right? Amen.
Thank you, brother. Ooh. Yeah, Maine, we love Maine. Wow. Yeah, I know you guys don't like Tom Brady down here, but
Tom Brady. Snowden's the only one.
I'm sorry I brought up the name, but anyway, I just saw this video of this Mainer, and he was just talking about, I know why people don't like Tom Brady. You know, he's like a model, and his wife's a model, and his dog's a model and everything. And you know, but up here in Maine, he's all we got. Like, you know, we don't have anything else up here. We don't even have the sun up here. You know, the sun sets at 2:45, and, you know, we don't even have toenails up here. It's just so cold and everything. Now, it's just really funny. So anyway, my wife is a Mainer, and she misses the snow. So we went up last couple weeks ago, and they got 3 or 4 feet up there, and so we got our taste. But now we can leave and come back. You know, that's the good part. So anyway, it's so good to be with you. This is family. This is like one of my favorite places to come, just to know you guys and to be a part of what is happening here in Baltimore. And you're right. I don't have any students with me this morning, which is kind of rare. They were all doing something. They were in Israel or some excuse. And so anyway, but you're going to be invaded the end of the month. I mean, we're going to have like probably 30 students down here and just invading Baltimore for 4 days. It's going to be amazing. And so it's Ascend Baltimore. We'll be here on the Thursday night. We'll be at Redemption House on Friday. We'll be at the Well on Saturday. And part of that is invading downtown Baltimore on Friday afternoon. There's a place down there that there's like 4 blocks, the worst place I can imagine, and that's where we're going. So I've just been wanting to take a team in there, and it's time to do it. So, wow. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. He's up to some great things. So, Randy and Linda, I had a word for you. And Linda, you prophesied this morning about angel armies. And that's exactly what God's up to right now. He's invading Baltimore with angel armies. He's invading the Northeast in preparation to something really great. You guys have been faithful through the years. Like, just sowing seeds, kingdom seeds, church seeds, inner city seeds. And they're coming forth. I mean, God's got some surprises for you guys, some suddenlies that it's going to blow your mind, some of these suddenlies. Like Song of Solomon chapter 6 talks about the armies of Mahanaim. Mahanaim is a city in Israel, and it means the two armies, the two angel armies. And what happened with the bride, she was after the harvest, after going down to the vineyards to see if they were awakened. And that's what you guys are all about, you know, going after to see if the church is awakening and connecting. And it says that suddenly she was transported to the royal chariot of the king. And so there's going to be suddenly and some adventures. Like when you're in the Navy flying, you're going to have some more adventures, Randy, in the spiritual realm of being transported. Like that one extra hour that disappeared is disappearing next week. There's going to be some time-space continuums where you're going to be in heavenly places and then come back. And those revelations of dreams and encounters are going to propel you into new adventures in God. Whoa. That's a good word. Angel armies are invading, and we're learning how to dance with the angels. We're learning how to move with the angels that are on earth, the angels in heaven, and to move between the two realms. And as we move with heaven, things are going to change. Things that we've tried to do a lot of times, but now suddenly they're going to change, and there's going to be breakthrough in those areas. Wow. Since I was here in August, I've had some incredible experiences. The Lord said, your life is changing when you go to Scotland, and it did. And I actually went through two portals when I was in Scotland. And I might have a chance to share that this morning. But it was life-changing. And Fred, you know, 50 years ago was Woodstock. And this is a jubilee year of that time. And so I know I prophesied to you guys before about dreams coming forth, learning to dream again, and just imagine some of the things that God's put in your heart. But this is a jubilee year. And I just want you to know, the Lord's just saying, there's a treasure in you, Fred, that you don't even know that's there. It's a very deep well. It's a very powerful well. And you have a calling for baby boomers. Like, there is a call in your life to reach the baby boomers that are still searching, still out there searching. And you're going to have, even this next year, some new connections, some new relationships coming into your life, influential people, and you're going to shift them for the Lord. And so give the Lord a hand. I just believe that this, Lord, we just pray for this couple. They're going to be very influential in the coming days. There's a lot of hippies that still need to find Jesus. And you're a pioneer in that. Yes.
Born again.
That's right.
A second chance.
You know it. Wow. Because there's still people looking for peace, love, and joy, and all the things that we were looking for back then. Wow. I also felt, Susie, like you're going to write a book. And Mike's going to help you with this because there's things that we're going to be talking about this morning about the royal priesthood and the, you know, our calling as priests and kings and going into heavenly places and declaring onto the earth what is happening. But I feel like there's going to come a time when you're just going to have a lot of experiences about that with the school and just with Baltimore and with different places. And you need to get those things into print, into writing. So that's coming for you. And I heard that very strong. We're going to be talking about our ministry with the royal priesthood this morning. And I'd like to have you go to 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, the last 6 months has been kind of mind-blowing for me. I've just been getting all these downloads from glory. And I haven't really known how to organize it. You know, I'm not a great organizer about how do you present this stuff. So I've tried a lot of different ways. I tried, like, getting all the passages about unveiling and glory, because they go together, unveiling and glory. And there's like 12, 13 major passages. So I found out, like, if I try to preach all those, it's like a 3-hour sermon. So I said, I can't do that. So I've been trying like other subject ways to do it. And so it's been fun. But today I'm going to try just 2 Peter 1 and see if I can, you know, stay within that context. Because a lot of the things that we're talking about is in there. And Peter had some encounters, some daylight saving time encounters with the Christ. And I'm going to call this today the unveiling of the glory of Christ. The unveiling of the glory of Jesus, because he is everything. He is the exact splendor of the Father. He is the express mirror image of the majesty of God. And, you know, if he was unveiled all at once, we'd all blow over and, you know, die. But the unveiling of Christ is getting stronger and stronger. The glory of God on the earth is getting stronger. The angel armies are getting stronger, and it's causing a polarization. The church is getting brighter, but the world is getting darker. You know, glory does two things. It reveals darkness, but it also shines in those that are after him. And so glory does both things. And so we're seeing at the world at the same time. You can look at the news and say, oh, my goodness, it's getting worse. What's going on here? But at the same time, there is a glory coming on the church. There's new expression of awakening that we haven't seen in a long time. I so wished I'd been at the Send last week, but the Send was an expression of what God's doing in this hour. Do you all know about the Send last weekend? Like, this was a fulfillment of what Lou Engle said last year, that when Billy Graham went to heaven, there's been a double anointing, a double mantle come upon the earth of evangelism and the supernatural signs and wonders at the same time. So you had 70,000 young people in Florida last weekend all committed to taking a supernatural gospel to the world of all different types of streams and denominations. And there was a lot of people that got out of wheelchairs. There was a lot of cutters, their scars disappeared. But more, the greatest miracle of all is that you have 70,000 people passionate now being sent, commissioned to the world. And he's commissioning all of us in this day and hour because they've had a revelation of the unveiling of Jesus. He's unveiling himself. It's amazing what one word can do to shift your mind about something. Like the word revelation, it's a great word. And it's apocalypse. But at the same time, it means unveiling. And for me, unveiling just does more for me. Like, wow, he's unveiling himself. We're seeing him clear. And when you see him as he is, then who you are really comes forth. Wow. It's just like this word in verse 1. Peter says, this letter is from Simon Peter, a loving servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to those who have been given a faith equally precious as ours through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is probably one of the most powerful statements in the New Testament that Jesus is God. This is Peter saying, through the righteousness of our God, Jesus Christ. Wow, that's quite a statement. Now, for me, that does a lot more for me than the statement of the Son of God. Like when I was growing up Methodist, I verbally said, Jesus is the Son of God. But for me, at least in my thinking, that put him on the same level as maybe Buddha and Krishna and some other, you know, that they were all sons of gods and they were just gurus, you know, very close to God. But at least in my mind, I was putting Jesus on the same level as a lot of these other, you know, gurus. And but Peter's saying he's God. For me, that made all the difference to realize that Jesus is the creator and there's another like him. And no other religious leader can even compare. Hello, Jesus created Buddha. I'm just saying. Jesus created Muhammad. I mean, Muhammad, that's quite a difference. And Peter had a revelation of who Jesus was. He wasn't just this rabbi who he was following for 3 years, but at one point at Caesarea Philippi, he had a revelation. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, my Father's revealed that to you, not any human being. But beyond that, there was the Mount of Transfiguration. And beyond that, there was Easter morning, which I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but coming into Easter morning, Peter wasn't really had much self-esteem going on. It kind of gone out the window. He denied Christ three times and he blasphemed and he cursed, right? So he's just kind of now coming back into the fold and pretty sheepish, like, I'm one of the 12, I know, I'm supposed to be. And so, but that morning, the women came and the tomb's empty. He's gone. What's going on? And of course, they were women, so they kind of, I don't know. You know, women are emotional. Anyway, we don't know if it's true or not. But Peter and John said, we're going to go. We're going to go to the tomb. So they go running down there. They go to the tomb, and John goes in. And it says that John believed. Peter is sort of like, wow, I don't know. I see the evidence, but I don't know. But it says in 1 Corinthians 15 that this is what must have happened. Later on that morning, Peter goes back alone into the home, and he's there alone, and he's saying, the tomb is empty. I don't know what happened, but I don't even know if he likes me anymore. Like, what is the deal? And it says that that morning, Easter morning, Jesus appeared to Peter alone in the house, one-on-one. And Peter saw him as God, the risen God who came and said, Peter, I'd like to hear that conversation. Peter, you're still mine. I love you so much. And I'm raising you up. I'm going to restore everything that was lost. And you're going to lead my church. Wow. So here he writes, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May grace and perfect peace cascade over you as you live in the rich knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I'm so glad that grace cascades. It's a daily thing that we can live free before God, clean before God every day because his grace cascades. It's not just that he forgives our sins, but now we have the power to live in victory. Victory every day because of the cascading grace of God. I'll never forget that picture of the cascading grace because amen, that's why we need grace, right? It's we need grace. Yeah, there we go. Jesus. So because the first week I got saved and I found Jesus, that I was taking a shower at the University of Maine, and I saw Jesus walking with me through heaven while I was in the shower. So that cascading grace has always been something I've always, you know, could picture and understand. So that word God means more to me than Son of God in my life for Jesus. Also, the word unveiling means something very powerful, more than revelation to me. And the word glory, I've been having a hard time. What does that word glory mean? Well, it means a lot of things, but the root word of it is value. That's the root word of it, value. It actually comes from the ancient Hebrew meaning weight. You had coins that weighed a lot, and you had coins that didn't weigh much. And the coins that weighed a lot have a lot more value than those that don't. So glory means value. And as we see more value in Christ, then we become closer to him. And that's what, as he unveils himself, we see his glory, we see his value, we see his dazzling majesty, then we honor him more, we value him more, and we're more motivated to be his, completely his, you know, not to resist him at all, but to just give him everything, because we see him for who he really is, his value, his honor. So one little word can just tilt things in our minds. And in verse 3, this is a mind-blowing verse. And I'm still trying to get my head around it. Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all this was lavished on us through the rich experience of knowing him who called us by his name. You know, Ephesians 1:3 says the same thing. Everything that we need, all the treasures of heaven have already been given to us in Christ. In Christ dwells all the treasures of heaven. And if we have Christ in us, then it's already been deposited in us. So we have everything we need. Does that bug you? Like, we have everything we need, then how come we don't always see it, right? That's where faith comes in. That's where believing the promises of God comes in. I actually had a dream about this last week. I was at Bethel, and I was with a whole bunch of people, and I was thinking to myself, oh, I need some coffee. So I go over to look for some coffee, and it's in my hand. Whoa, cool. And then I was saying, oh, but we're going outside. I need my coat. So I'm looking all over for my coat, like, where is it? Where is it? And I realized I have it on. And then I said, but I need my keys to, you know, for my car. They were these keys. And so I'm looking for my keys, looking for my keys. Finally, I look down, and there's three pairs of keys in my hand. Some of them are like expensive royal, like Mercedes keys. Wow. And I really believe the Lord was saying, you've already got this stuff. It's inside of you. In Christ, you have everything. Don't be looking all over for, oh, I need this, I need that. Christ in you is the hope of glory. It is the royal treasure. And 1 Peter 2:9, which is the before this, it actually says, Jesus says, you are my chosen treasure, my royal priesthood. You are my royal gems. This is like the treasury of the king and queen. So you actually have that treasure in you, and you are actually a royal priesthood. Wow. Just turn to your neighbor and say, I am part of the royal priesthood. Now, not during the millennium, not during the millennium, but now. Okay, now. Now, just say now. Now again, you say, well, how could that be? Well, it is. It's true. It's already inside of you. That's what you've been called to be. Priest in the order of Melchizedek. You've already been called to that. And if you can believe that, you can start operating in that. It says that we're dual citizens. We're citizens of earth and we're citizens of heaven. It says it all through the word, Ephesians chapter 2. It says, and you've been risen up with Christ, and now you sit in heavenly places in Christ. Throughout the New Testament, it already talks about we walk in heavenly places. We're heavenly citizens, and we have everything in Christ. And so faith connects us to that anchor. In Hebrews, it says that our faith actually is our anchor in the Holy of Holies. And it is Jesus is the pioneer that has already gone there, and he's in the Holy of Holies. But our faith actually is anchored to the mercy seat, and we actually operate out of the Holy of Holies. We can actually go into the holy place in heaven, hear the heart of Jesus, come back to earth and declare it on the earth, and shift regions and cities. And then the angels, working with the angels, working with the saints and the prayers of the saints beforehand and afterhand, together, there's a synergy that actually brings breakthrough. Because your prayers aren't just your prayers now. You're joining with the prayers of the saints of generations past and the activity of angels past, present, and future. Well, I might as well talk about the portals now. Well, you know, when I turned 65... the Lord said, I'm going through portals, Rich, and you're going in with me. And I said, that's a great parable, Lord, you know. I love the fact that you made me feel better becoming a senior citizen. But I'm finding out it's literal. It's not like symbolic. We can actually go through portals. We can actually be in heavenly places. We can actually do step into those realms, because I used to think heaven was like, you got to go through the black hole at the middle of the Milky Way first. And then you dive through and do a Star Trek type of thing. I'm a Trek, you know, from way back. And so, no, heaven is actually nearby. Like it's in a different dimension. Christ is near. He's at hand. And the cloud of witnesses is around us. So when I was in Scotland, there are thin places where heaven meets earth. Okay, and there's places like that in the United States, too. There's Wells. We were at one last October in Baltimore here, Mount Vernon Methodist Church. It's where Francis Asbury's inheritance is. Y'all understand, I mentioned this before, but the Second Great Awakening started in Baltimore. Now, if you read a history book, they'll tell you Cane Ridge, 1801 in Kentucky. They'll talk about James McGreedy and, you know, the great Kentucky camp meetings, which is the official beginning of the Second Great Awakening. But you got to understand that 20 years before that, the whole preparation was the Methodist Revival in Baltimore, which ordained 500 lay preachers and sent them all throughout the East Coast into Kentucky. So that's how deep a well is here. And so we were there at Mount Vernon Methodist Church last October, and it was truly amazing. And, you know, just the historic realm of the portal that's in that place. But at the same time, it's been sealed up by the glory uncovers stuff. The glory uncovers stuff, right? And because I was up to Francis Asbury's grave, the father of Methodism, and I realized his buddy, Mr. Strawberry, has an obelisk. And I'm thinking, why an obelisk? Why a Masonic obelisk? And all of a sudden, I'm realizing as I'm down at Mount Vernon that the leaders later on in the Methodist Church here became the Mason leaders of Baltimore. And then I realized that, wow, you know, whenever there's fire, the enemy tries to take over that well and then mock the people of God. And so I'm in there that night, and we took a little tour, and they actually give ghost tours in that church. And one of the deaconesses was telling me about all the voices and all the spirits that she talks to and all this. Wow, I think we need revival here, you know. But that's the way that it happens. Wherever there's a well, there's many times things that happen in the meantime to shut up that portal. God's opening up the portals again. He is allowing these stairways in between heaven and earth for angels and royal priesthood to move up and down. Well, let me just tell you what happened, and you can judge it for yourself. But it's very special to me. We were in Edinburgh, Scotland, very thin place there, and we're worshiping, and all of a sudden I go through a white and purple portal. And I went back into my past 20 years ago to Eastport, Maine, when the Lord said, count the stars, because these stars are going to be sons and daughters, you know, of yours. And so I was there. I was in Eastport, Maine. And then the Lord took me into the future, and I saw airports of different nations that I was going to. And so that was like, because there's a place in worship. Maybe you've experienced it, where time disappears, where you're in the presence of the Lord, and you're partnering with a different realm. We're partnering with, if you're saved, you're partnering with a different realm all the time. It's just that we're not aware of it all the time. You know, you're in union with Christ every moment. But, you know, you might be married to your wife every moment, but you're not always aware of the intimacy and the connection. And so it is with us. But when we worship and when we do intercession, we're aware of that eternal realm and of that portal. And so I was very aware that there's a timeless realm there where the past and the future doesn't matter. How many of you know that Jesus is without time? The whole daylight savings thing is not going to matter to him because he's already outside of that time. Time is like a train where you see the cars go by. You see your life go by, right? Jesus is on the train. He can go to the engine. He can go to the caboose. He can walk wherever he wants to. That's why in Romans chapter 9, verse 23, it says, and he has chosen you to share his glory even from the foundation of the world. So he's already seen your destiny. He's already seen all the things that you're going to do for him. He's already seen the end because he's been to the caboose already, and now he's coming back and showing you what he's going to do to bring you victory in the midst of that. It's like there's a triumphant procession, and he is choreographing, it says, your triumphant procession. No matter what it looks like today, this Sunday morning, he is planning out each day for your good so that your destiny will be fulfilled. Your GPS is going to be redirected. Even if you make a wrong turn, he's redirecting. Woo! So that your plan, your destiny will come forth. And the devil can't mess that up. But the more that we believe and the more that Christ is unveiled in front of us and the more we see him, the stronger that this triumph becomes real to us. And he's choreographing the whole thing. It's an amazing thing. It has to do with the promises of God. It has to do with prophetic words. It has to do with us believing that God has a plan for our lives that's much bigger than what we could imagine. Whoa. Yeah, Randy, there's going to be some things beyond your imagination, some new adventures. This heart for the Muslim world, you're going to see Muslims come to Christ this year. Whoa. They're hungry. They're wanting. This church is such a picture of the one new man. Wow. So you're going to have Jewish people coming to Christ. You're going to have Muslims people coming to Christ, just like what Georgian's doing right now, reaching out in Bethlehem to the refugees, Palestinians, Muslim refugees, but also going into the Israeli army camps and ministering to the Israelis. So you're going to be able to do both because the love of God in this place will connect both. Yay. Jesus. Give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Lord. Wow. So that the first port I was in, I was just realizing that our past, present, and future is all connected. It's all connected, and God sees the end from the beginning, and he's choreographing the whole thing. That afternoon, I went through another portal, and this time I actually went to the Holy of Ireland of Lindisfarne, and I saw prayers coming out of the ground. And I was so aware that every time we pray and we worship, it's not just our prayers. Like, there are prayers of the synergy of saints that were 200 years ago that are joining your prayers. There are angels working with you and in heaven and on earth. There are saints on earth and in heaven that are working together to see the breakthrough, to see awakening in Baltimore. We're all connected. And in the spiritual realm, there is no disconnect. The people that are souls that have gone to be with the Lord, they're involved. I can't explain how. I just know that when I walked through this portal, I saw a cloud of witnesses around me as I prayed. And these prayers came up from the ground. They came from the saints of old, and the saints and the angels and the saints today, we were like one company. There was no separation. So I just want to encourage you today that it's not just like your church here and our prayers and our intercession now that's happening, but literally there is generational synergy involved with what's happening right now. Yay. Jesus. I didn't really see it until I went through these portals. But now it became very real to me. And this is what we're involved with. Verse 4. As a result of this, he has given us magnificent promises beyond all price, so that through the power of these promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature, by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are in the world. Wow. So we actually partner with heaven. In fact, that's what he wants to do. You know, God could take over the world and make everybody believe in him, reveal himself. But his plan was always to make us partners in the second coming, in the second coming that really the bride determines the date of the second coming. How ready is she? How passionate is she? And that's pretty exciting to think that he's put this in our heart, in our hand, that we would be partners with the divine nature. Because when you were born again, there was a seed that came in you. It was the seed of the Father. It was a DNA of God the Father, and it came through the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit came in your life, you now have a new DNA. You are now citizens of heaven. You're not just citizens of earth, but you're citizens of heaven too. And now our desires become his desires. In fact, that's the word. What the word desire means is that which is of the Father. The seed that comes from the Father is your desires. So now that you belong to heaven, your desires become more for heaven. You begin to care about things that Jesus cares about. You begin to love people in the inner city. You begin to love people around you. You begin to care about human trafficking in a new way. And God is raising up a new generation that cares for justice. Woo! And they're going to push it over the top. As the old and the young work together, we're going to see it pushed over the top in a new way that we haven't seen before. Millennials think differently. My son is educating me a lot on how they think, what's going on. But they have something in them that they're questioning everything. Sort of like hippies on steroids, actually. That's what my son is like. Because we questioned everything, right? We questioned authority. How come it can't be this one? But now, this time, this generation is like, yes, let's do something about it. And there's never been a knowledge explosion like there's been today. Wow. So the word... there's a word that the Lord gave us at the beginning of the year called progeny. I didn't even know what it meant. But the word progeny means to inherit or to be have offspring, a legacy, children, or to beget something. God is taking the baby boomers and he's saying to them, you're going to have progeny. There's going to be a whole generation of sons and daughters that you're going to help raise up. And you're going to shoot them. They're going to be arrows in your quiver. God's going to give us sons and daughters, and we're going to be able to shoot them. This new generation is the tip of the arrow. It's going to find its mark. It's going to make an impact on our culture. It's going to shift things into justice like never before. Who's under 25 here? Whoa. You guys are the tip of the arrow. Whoa. Under 30. Let's say under 30. So you guys are the tip of the arrow. You're going to hit the mark. You're going to make an impact on life as we know it. Whoa. An awakening is going to happen with the tip of the arrow. But guess what? An arrow has three parts. An arrow has the tip, the youth, and then it has the shaft, which is the body of Christ in general. And it's got the tail, which is the baby boomers who are going to help direct the point. Whoa. Is that good? Lord, just shoot a bunch of arrows into this Baltimore region, Lord. Old and young working together. Lord, take your quiver. Produce a progeny. Whoa, of new disciples. Radical Jesus movement, but on steroids. Yay. Give the Lord a hand. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. So we're learning to partner with heaven. We're learning to think like him, which is pretty radical. Can you imagine thinking like Jesus? Like, I want to do that. I want to think like that. Well, it says in 1 Corinthians, the end of chapter 2, to have the perspective of Jesus, which is always from heaven to the earth. And it has to do with just everything is possible. There's nothing impossible. And his motives are always pure and perfect. To understand how he thinks. Like, water's nothing to me. I can walk on water. I can walk through walls. You like to think like that? You know, just be careful practicing the wall thing. I would take it slow at first. I've done a few of the walking on water things. Hasn't worked yet, but we're, you know, you got to start thinking these ways. And, you know, I've only raised one person from the dead so far, but, you know, it's like you got to practice until it becomes more normal, right? And so it has to do with being transfigured. Romans 12, verse 2 says, and so the transfiguring of your mind. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transfigured in your mind. It actually comes from the word for cocoons, where a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. That's how radical it is. That the caterpillar thinking of our past now is becoming the flight of a butterfly. Or you could say it this way. The chicken thinking of our past in the barnyard is now the eagle soaring thinking of the eagle. Yeah, I like that a lot better, right? You know, in Romans chapter 8, 14 and 15, I like this rendering that the Passion gives. It's actually about the fact that those that are mature sons of God, how many of you know it's possible to be immature son of God? We've all been there. We've all done that. And then mature sons of God are those that have learned the impulses of the wind. They've learned to fly with the spirit. Spirit air. You know, eagles, you know, they can either flap their wings a lot, but as they get more mature, they learn the currents. They learned how to flow with the spirit. And that's a beautiful place to be. And the very next verse, it talks about, and they no longer have the spirit of adoption or of orphanages, but they have the spirit of adoption of sons and daughters, sonship. And it says they cry out, Abba, Father. They know who their father is. And they know their sons. And that word in the Greek is actually, instead of they cry, it's actually shriek. They shriek out, which to me is the eagle cry. Ah! They're soaring. They understand who they are. They're shrieking, Abba, Father. They've got that cry of victory in their hearts. And that's, you know, learning to move with the Lord and to partner in the divine nature. Peter goes on here and talks about the very special story. See, he says, I'm about to die. I'm about to go home to be with the Lord. And as you all know, he didn't just wasn't just martyred, but he says, I'm not worthy to be crucified. Hang me upside down. You know, that's what an encounter would do for you, I guess. But he says, I'm about ready to depart. He says, but remember this. We're not just telling fairy tales here. Because I was there on the holy mountain when I saw Christ unveiled in all of his glory. I saw it. I was there. You know, one encounter with God changes your life. That changed Peter's life that day on the mountain. You know, one of my favorite things to do, Randy said I'm a nature guy. Truly am. I hug trees before it was popular. And I still do. But, you know, we don't want to go there because you wouldn't believe me. So, but all of nature is looking to us for the manifestations of the sons of God. So, yes, trees are looking to us. Please get with the program. Please understand who Jesus is and begin to dance with heaven. Become who you were created to be so that we can join you in the praises. They already praise the Lord. Trees praise the Lord. So, but they want us to praise the Lord on more of a regular basis and so that we can all be fulfilled in what we're created to be. Wow. So one of my favorite things to do is go on, up on a holy mountain every summer, you know. Find a holy mountain, go up there for a day or two, and have an encounter with the Lord. That's been something I've been, one of my favorite things to do, you know, in my life. As of late, something weird has been going on. like every time I try to do that, it doesn't work. Last summer I tried to do it. I tried to go to three holy mountains last summer, and none of the three worked out. And the Lord's been on me. Like, I think he's really saying very clearly, you can go to a holy mountain every day wherever you are. Heaven is that close. You don't have to, like, pick out and travel someplace and make a big effort to have some kind of pilgrimage to have an encounter with God, when every single day you can have an encounter with God wherever you are. Heaven is that close. It's as close as one word. It's as close as just saying Jesus. It's as close as just worshiping him. When you worship, you enter into a zone. You enter into a portal. And you can go through that portal every day. In worship, you can encounter me every day. How many of you know this? This is true. This is available. It's available to us. You know, it says in Ephesians 3 that we have access as kings before the Father. Why? Because we've prepared ourselves as such holy vessels? No, because of our confidence in his complete faithfulness. That's what it says. Our confidence in his complete faithfulness of what he did on the cross, that enables us to have access. Woo! The blood has already taken care of it all. The blood is enough. I'm telling you, you don't have to add this A, B, C, D, and E to the blood. The blood is enough. The blood made us holy. Righteousness is a free gift that we got at the cross. All we have to do is become devoted. He talks about the saints that are righteous. We're all righteous because of the blood. All we have to do is respond and become devoted. All we have to do is respond and go through that portal into his presence on a daily basis. Because as we see him, we're going to be like him. Encounters. We see that standard of Christ. We're going to be messed up if we look for the standards around us. But if we see that standard of Christ, it changes us. We go from glory to glory to glory. And the veil is taken off and we see him for who he really is. I'm going to try to land the plane. I see the aircraft carrier ahead. Randy, I'm just getting the ball. I'm on the ball. Woo. So, you don't have to be on a holy mountain. You just have to begin to worship. You just have to begin to lock yourself in with him, into his word, into his presence. And then you're suddenly... And it's hard to explain when it happens, but you're going to be suddenly transported into the royal chariot, sitting with the king, lifted above your circumstances, lifted above those mountains. And all of a sudden, you're going to be realizing that you are in heavenly places, partnering with him as a royal priesthood of Melchizedek. It's a real thing. It's a real thing. And not just for pastors or for apostles or prophets. Every member of the body of Christ is a royal priest. And it's all a matter of whether we think we can go there, if we're worthy to go there, if we have permission to go there. But Jesus opened the portal and he said, it's open. Do you want to believe me? Do you want to partner with me? I'm really your friend. And I've made a way before the Father with you. And what I did is enough confidence for you to know that I'm your friend. So it says, so we've been given the prophetic word, the written message of the prophets, made more reliable and fully validated by the confirming voice of God on the Mount of Transfiguration. And you will continue to do well if you stay focused on it. See, Peter was saying, up until that time, we had the prophetic Old Testament that told us Messiah was coming. And then Messiah showed up, and we saw him. We touched him. We saw him raised from the dead. But there was something very special with Peter, that on that holy mountain, a voice came out of heaven from the Father saying, this is my son, my favored one who I delight in. For Peter, that made the entire scriptures totally validated, that the Father himself was saying, the Messiah I wrote about and talked about, I'm saying in front of all of you now, this is the one. He is the one. And Peter, it wrecked his life. He never was the same. And he said, this voice validated the word of God, and you will continue to do if you stay focused on it. So you know one of our biggest jobs as Christians is just stay focused on Jesus. In this crazy life we live, a lot of distractions. And the first of this year, the Lord said to me, organize, simplify, focus. Organize, simplify, focus. It's been helping me a lot because I was feeling overwhelmed. So, Lord, help us this year to be organized, simplify, and focus. Why? So we can have the peace of God to enter into His presence wherever we are. And whatever situation you're in, whatever day you're in, you're stressed out, you're overwhelmed, just say to yourself, I'm going to breathe. I'm going to focus on the Lord. And I'm going to start worshiping Him. And you'll feel that shalom just begin to fill your life, that shalom, and put you back on those heavenly places. For this prophetic message is like a piercing light shining in a gloomy place until the dawning of a new day when the morning star rises in your heart. Whoa. Let's all stand. Thank you, Lord. Woo. Jesus. Well, I hope this made sense. I've been trying to articulate what the Lord's been showing me, but we have more than we think we do right now. We have all the treasures of heaven living in us in Christ. It's sort of like when I went into my office the other day and I dug up some stuff and I was finding all this wealth of stuff that I've had all along and I forgot it was there. It's amazing. So just put your hand on your heart right now. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the treasures that are in us because we have the Holy Spirit. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Lord, we have royal gems inside of us that you've deposited there. Lord Jesus, help us to realize that we are partners in this amazing plan of God to unveil the Son of God to this world. And your plan, as unbelievable as it is to unveil yourself in us so that people can see Jesus in us and be attracted to them, the kingdom of God. Whoa. So, Lord, we just thank you for these treasures. Lord, let us be thankful for them. And God, let us just say yes. Let us just say yes, have your way. Unveil yourself in me. Whoa. Lord, I was asking you, what does that mean to unveil Christ in us? And he just said, anything that's not me should go. Uh-oh. So we just say, yes, Lord, we're not going to resist you when you want everything. You gave everything to us. And so, Lord, we give everything to you. And Lord, unveil yourself in us. Let us be partners with you in this amazing strategy, Lord. And you are causing us to be always triumphant. Just say right now, I'm triumphant in Jesus Christ. He's all I need for the victory. He is my victory every day. And no matter what's around me, you are my victory. Well, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Rich. Wow, thank you. Thank you. Amen. I was with Dave and Dorothy Barkley praying down in Ellicott City with a few others back a few months ago, and God revealed to us the portals of Ellicott City with the Quakers who established that city, built the flour mill that's down there with the purpose of reaching the lost with the gospel, to employ them. And so we were tapping into that when we were praying, realizing that we as charismatics think we're the first ones to ever do something. You know what I mean? That's part of our dilemma. And realize there have been generations praying before us and joining our prayers with theirs. I've never raised the dead yet, Rich. I was just thinking about that. About the closest, I guess, was ever we prayed, a couple of us, for a woman who was told, this is about 30 years ago or more, that the baby in her womb was dead, the fetus was dead, and we prayed life into it, and now somewhere around this world is running around a 30-something-year-old girl. So that's the closest. But I was with Richard Joseph on Friday. You remember Richard Joseph from India that was here? And we were talking about that, about praying for the sick and praying to raise the dead. And his father-in-law builds vaults for graves, grave vaults, and tombstones. And so we could just see us going around praying for people to be raised from the dead, and him going, "You're hurting my business, man." Woo! Wow, yeah. Isn't that great? Amen. So thank you, brother. Thank you very much. We have a basket in the back for an offering for Rich. We got that slide again there, Dan. You had up there a minute ago. So if you want to make out a check to Rich, please don't make it out to New Heritage, but make it out to Eastgate Revival Ministries. Yeah, or just Eastgate even. Okay, just Eastgate. All right. And, yeah. So we have a prayer team that's here to pray with people, and I know Rich would be happy to pray with you if you need prayer.